So we're in the middle of discussing the p'tur that a married woman has when it comes to the mitzvah of kibud av v'em. And more specifically, the Gemara uses a lashon of isha lo sipek biyada, and that a woman doesn't have the full opportunity or the ability to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av v'em because she is brishus acheris, right? So he said that the lashon of the Gemara on Lamed Amud Beis is Tana Rabbanan ish ein li ela ish isha minayin kishu omer tira'u harei kan shnayim. So the pasuk is written in the plural, but then it says only a man has to do it. So we say that no. So obviously the word ish means ish v'isha, that both a man and a woman have to have mora avaim. So imkein ma talmud lomar ish. So why does it say ish? So ish sipek biyado lasos, ish ein sipek biyado lasos. So because a man has the ability, a woman doesn't. Why? Mipneisha rishus acherim alel. Because she is the rishus of others is upon her. I mean, she's not completely in her own domain. So we were discussing last time the different shitas in the Rishonim, what that means, rishus acherim alel. So it sounds the pashup shot in Rashi. Pashup Shad and Rashi sounds like it's only an issue when the husband protests what the wife was going to do. If the wife is helping out her husband, and then the father calls up and says, I'd really like you to come over and take care of something. So the husband is allowed to say, no, don't go over and take care of something. I'd rather you stay here and do what you're supposed to do in this family. But if the husband wouldn't say anything, then the wife would be chayiv to go and do her daughterly duties as opposed to her wifely duties. So there, that seems to be the pshat in Rashi, although we discussed at length whether or not that's really what Rashi means to say. Tosfos is also difficult. Tosfos seems to say that it's all tully in one particular halacha, or perhaps even just the mitzius. Tosfos' lashon is that in the maskana, he says, Eina mitsuya etzel avia ella etzel baila. She's not really found by her father. She's much more found by her husband. So it sounds like it's a simple matter of geography. That if she would be living, let's say, I know a guy who lives with his in-laws. Right? He lives with his in-laws. In-laws have a big house, and they're not right on top of each other. And he has Baruch Hashem 5 kids. And they live in the house with the in-laws, and so in that case, it sounds from Tosfos that the woman would be fully chayiv in kibud av v'em as much as she was before she was married. It's simply an issue of geography, and that seems to basically negate the entire statement of the Gemara. The Gemara of ish imo v'aviv tiro. There's no real drusha of ish. Either the Torah was just making, right? Sometimes we have such a lashon of diber akosuv behova. I did with my son last night, the Mishnah in Bava Kama, where it says, how come it always says shor v'chamor in the Torah? The Mishnah in Bava Kama lists off all the different places where it says shor or chamor. It really means every animal, right? It says when you find somebody shor or chamor that's lost, you have a mitzvah of ashavas aveda. What, so there's no ashavas aveda if you find the guy's... if you find the guy's wallet, it's only if you find his shor or chamor. If you find the guy's pet snake, there might be a mitzvah of hashava saveda. That's not dangerous. So any animal will do. So it's a dibra akosuv behove, that the Torah speaks about standard situations, right? The most famous of them all might be lo sevashel gidi b'chalevi mo, right? Don't. So it's only usher. It's like a din of osov es beno lo tishka tu biyom echad, that you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to shecht the parent and the child on the same day. So too, you're not allowed to cook a meat of a goat in the milk of its mother. But if it's somebody else's mother, it's okay. So the Gemara just says no. Dibra akosuv behove. Nowadays we milk things with using pumps and stuff like that. So we think that cows just give milk, right? That's just what they do. Right? Actually, all mammals give milk, right? So, I don't know. You guys know this, right? So all mammals give milk, and cows, if they would not be milked professionally, they would stop giving milk after they have a kid. Right? Once the cow has a baby, it gives milk the same way once a human has a baby, it gives milk. Right? So after a while, the milk, the kid is weaned, or the calf would be weaned, and then they wouldn't give milk anymore. So that's the case where we say that where would you be getting your milk from if you were on a farm or you're living in an agricultural society? You'd get your milk from the mother. So we say, Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Don't cook a young goat, a young kid, in its mother's milk, because that's the standard case in which one would find himself in such a position. But lav dafka a goat, and lav dafka the mother, and lav dafka only that kind of milk, right? It's divra kasa behova. The Torah is just speaking about the general situation when it would come up. So that seems to be the pshat in Tosfos, that saying that ish imo v'aviv tiro. So the Torah was making a statement by in general. The woman will go to live, but in the husband's hometown, and therefore she's not going to be around. So that's a very difficult way to explain the Gemara, since the Gemara didn't explain itself that way. So we suggested, based on the Netziv, that Tosfos is actually making a much broader statement in terms of what are the general chiyuve ishus of a woman. This is a not exactly, it's like what I like to call based on a true story. It's not exactly what the Netziv says. It's extrapolated from the Netziv's approach. But the Netziv suggested that we're talking about a chiyuv that's on the wife, min haTorah, and part of the chiyuv that's on the wife is to be, you know, to be living in the reshus of her husband, not in the reshus of her parents. And therefore, she leaves the reshus of being, quote-unquote, a daughter, and she goes into the reshus of being a wife. And therefore, she's not, quote-unquote, mitsuya. Mitsuya doesn't mean geographically found. She can live wherever she wants. There's nothing in the Torah or Midrabanan about which neighborhood you're supposed to live in when you get married. Right? You have to figure out what works best for a particular marriage. And therefore, a woman is allowed to put her duties as a wife first before she has to worry about being a daughter, because she is in a situation where she is out of the reshus of her parents to some degree and is into the reshus of her family to a different degree. So therefore she's primarily a wife now. She's not primarily a daughter. And this is somewhat mashman the lashon of the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos. Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos seems to say that kol zman that she has chiyuvim towards her husband, so the chiyuvim of her parents are not chal on her. It doesn't mean that they're never chal on her. It doesn't mean she's never going to have to do kibud av v'eim even while she's married. But it seemed, the way I wanted to explain the sheet of the Rambam, and l'chor, this is pshat and tosus also, is that it's totally in prioritization. She has to prioritize her new family before her old family. That she has to say, listen, my number one focus is my new family, and it's my husband, my children, and it's to worry about what their needs are much more so than to worry about what the needs of my parents are. Now, one big issue that this will take care of is the issue of where the pasuk is learned. Right? What mitzvah is the pasuk in the Gemara referring to? It's referring to the issue of mora avayim, not kibud aveim. So what's the difference? We spoke about this last time, but let's just clarify. What's the difference between kibud aveim and mora aveim? Right. So kibud aveim is service of the parents, right? We often translate kibud aveim as respect or honor thy parents, but it's not actually so in halacha, right? The Gemara describes kibud aveim is doing things for your parents, servicing your parents, helping them. Mora avim is revering or honoring, meaning don't disrespect your parents. Do act respectfully to them. Now, obviously, if your father says, take out the garbage, and you take out the garbage, that's respectful, but it's not the same thing that we usually think of when we, meaning, don't be so sure what your father says, right? Don't sit in your father's place. Don't do things like that. That's together, mora avayim. That's, we would consider that respect, but that's not really under kavod, that's under mora. Right? So therefore here, it's a little strange because we're saying, how many times is a wife not going to be able to do mora avayim? Most of the time, she'll be able to do it. Right? There are very few nafkaminas for a woman who's married to not be respectful, quote-unquote, of her parents. Right, she doesn't have to contradict everything her father says just because now she's married. She doesn't have to, you know, not stand up when her parents walk into the room just because she's married. Right? I guess if it drives her husband crazy that she stands up for her parents, maybe that's what the Torah is saying, that her husband says, please don't stand up for your parents anymore. Right? I don't think that's really what it means. So what are we talking about over here? So if you understand Pshat the way we're explaining Tosos and the Rambam, it makes perfect sense. Meaning, we're not talking Dafka Kavod versus Mora. What are we talking about? We're talking about change in Rishus. She used to be in the Rishus of her parents, Legabe this mitzvah. Now she's in the Rishus of her new family, Legabe this mitzvah. So it doesn't really matter whether we're talking about actively doing things or passively doing things. It's under the whole umbrella of where are you holding now? What are your primary concerns? So if you look at things that way, and you don't just do things on a case-by-case basis, you don't really need to answer the question why it's dafka learned by Mora and it's not learned by Kavod. How are we doing so far? We're clear? Yeah. Not clear? Or so unclear that it doesn't matter anyway? That's the usual response. Okay, good. Yes? Right.
So this is what we would say.
Right. That's the Netziv's whole mahalach is based on the Marsha's problem, and the Netziv. The Netziv doesn't. Again, I'm not claiming that what I just said is the Netziv, right? But I think it works well with the Netziv as a starting point, and I think, you know, I think it could be what the Netziv meant. But this whole mahalach is to A, circumvent the difficulty in the simple words of the Tosfos. And B, to certain, meaning we said last time how we think the Marsha is reading the Tosfos to be extremely literal. Marsha is reading the Tosfos absolutely literally, right? Tosfos's kasha was, how can you say Maisi Adela? How can you say that the whole thing is learned from Maisi Adela Bala? That's only Midrabanan. So what do you mean Maisi Adela Bala? So Lechora, the pshat in the Marsha was the whole yisod of Kavod is Maisi Adel, right? You do this for me. Please, you know, go to the store and get this for me. Please do this Maisa, do this action. So now we say, oh, she used to be in the Rishus of her parents, Maisi Adel Lavia. Now she's in the Rishus of her husband, Maisi Adel Labala. Right? So that's the Raya that she's now not Chayev anymore in Kibud Aveim in the classic sense. But that's not Menat Torah, so that can't be what the Pasuk is talking about. And furthermore, asked the Marsha, right, that's only Shayach to Kavod. Maisi Adel is Kavod. It's doing things. It's making things. Right? Don't tell me that's Shayach to Mora. Right? So you see how literally the Marsha is taking Tosas. I was suggesting Tosas is not saying Maisi Adel Abala literally at all. He's saying, what's the number one Raya that you're not in your own Rishus? Right? We used the mushel of the bully with the lunch money last time. Right? So let me explain for the other guys that if you have every single day you come to school and some bully steals your lunch money and buys lunch with your money, right? So after a while, you know, it's clear to him and it's clear to you that your parents, when they put that money in your pocket, are just putting it in his pocket. Why? Because he owns you, right? You're his. That's not, and the raya that you're his is that your own parents are buying him lunch. What does that even mean? You don't get to eat lunch every day because he's obviously in charge. So that's the number one raya that you're in his rishus. Right? The concept of mashakana eved kana rabo is the ultimate raya that the eved is rishus rabo. He can't even own anything himself. It's not his. So Mamela, you would think that the best raya that the wife is now out of the rishus of her parents and in the rishus of her husband is that Maisi Adel Abala. She does some work, she, you know, she makes something, boom, not hers. Right? You give her something, Masha Kana Isha Kana Baila. That's it. She doesn't even make a kinyan on it. Right? Ad Kedei Kach, the Gemara has to figure out, how does she even receive a get? Right? How does she even receive a get? You give her the get. It's like taking it out of your left pocket, putting it in your right pocket. So, okay. So, why is it a teretz? But the bottom line is, you have to figure out how this all works. But that's the ultimate raya, that she's not in her own reshus. So says Tosfos, that's not a raya at all. Why? Because that's not min haTorah. So you can't say that that's what the pasuk is talking about, because it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. And we spoke at length last time. She could even reject the whole thing. She could even reject it. She's the whole takana, right? The Gemara in Ksuva says the whole takana was done litovasa. It was done for her benefit. It's ma'isi yadea tachas mizonosel, that she gets the ma'isi yadayim, or he gets the ma'isi yadayim, because he has to support her. He has to provide three meals a day. So therefore, he's providing the food. So most women in those days didn't earn a lot of money. So it was a very good deal for her. Just, if you happen to earn something on the side, give it to your husband in exchange for full support. That's a good deal. But let's say she's a fancy lawyer and he's a Nebuch Rebbe or something. So then Yechola Isha Lomar, Eini Nizonis, Veini Osa. Right? So she's allowed to say, I don't want your support, and I'm not going to give you what I make. Meaning, it's not that she's in his reshus at all. She's not in his reshus. Because that's A, Tosfos could have gone further. I think they're just being makatzer. But A, it's not a din d'oraisa. And B, even if it was a din d'oraisa, or even within the din d'rabbanan, it's only l'tovasa to put herself in that situation. But she doesn't have to put herself in that situation. She's allowed to back out. Okay. So therefore, I wanted to suggest that, like the Netziv, it was all a raya, what reshus you're in. And Tosfos' teretz is saying that she's leaving the reshus of her father, and she's going into the reshus of her new family. And therefore, she's in a new place. And now you can understand the flow of the Gemara, because the Gemara then says that after she's nisgarsha, right, so Amar Ravi Dibarav and Amar Rav, nisgarsha shneim shavim. If she gets divorced, they're both equal. Meaning, she goes back to being a regular daughter. She's no longer in the position of being a wife. Now she's back to being a regular daughter, and she's just as chayiv in kibud aveim as she was before she got married. So what meicha tesi to say that she wouldn't have been just as chayiv? Meaning, if you say the whole pshat is that her husband is allowed to object, right? He gets veto power. He's allowed to veto anything that her father says. Her father says, come over and take out the garbage, and the husband's allowed to say, no, please stay here. Right? So, meicha tesi, that if they would get divorced, she wouldn't be just as chayev in kibud aveim. She was always chayev in kibud aveim. There was never a time where she wasn't 100% chayev, just that there was someone else who had the right to negate certain commands that her parents would give her. Right? So meicha tesi, that after she gets divorced, she's not going to be back in the same exact situation. So you see clearly that there's a strong raya to say that no, we're really talking about leaving her original reshus and going into the reshus of her parents. So that's and again we did the Sefer Achinuch as mashma the first way that it's because the Sefer Achinuch uses such a lashon. If you have it on the sheet, Sefer Achinuch uses such a lashon where he says v'im yesh no where is it there noeg b'chol es b'chol magam b'chol zman b'zachar m'vinei kevos kol zman she'efshar lahen kilomar b'chol es shelo yimnu u osan ba'alei. It's knowing by women calls man that their husbands don't prevent them from doing it. Mashma that she's 100% chayiv in kibud aveim. It's just their husband can negate certain things that her father wants her to do. Right? So that seems to be against the way we're learning. It's either the simple pshat in Rashi. I wanted to suggest last time that maybe Rashi really does hold like Tosfos in the Rambam, but definitely the Chinuch does not. Right, and then, all right, we touched up a bunch of other cheetahs as well. All right, yeah.
Let's look at that. You say the drush of Ishvil Isha is from Tirao, it's from Yira. The Rashi in Dira Masa Niskarsha is clearly saying that she's only exempt from Kabbalah, not from Yira. But that completely clashes with the drush.
Agreed. I said my piece in Rashi. I don't have koach to start a whole new war. Anyway, so I said my piece in Rashi. I'm firmly entrenched in the belief that Rashi agrees with everything I just said. I appreciate the backing me up on that one. So the okay. Let's move a little bit forward. I just wanted to wrap up. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, what am I looking at here? I think you have it on the sheet. So he says, Echad Ish v'Echad Ish Shav v'Chvod uv'more shel av v'aim. Elisha Isha ain biyada lasos shehi mishua bedes labaila. So the Mechaber's lashon is very sosum. He doesn't say exactly. He certainly doesn't say the lashon like the chinuch. It says that Isha ain biyada lasos shehi mishua bedes labaila lefikach he pitura bechvod av v'aim ba'oda nesua. She's potter from kibud av v'aim calls man that she's married. So again, that's very much mashma this vart with Rishuyos, that she's out of the Rishus of her parents, you know, to the extent. Now, even what we suggested was not as far as saying that she's completely putter from Kibud Avayim. Vim nizgar shon is almana chayevis. And if she gets divorced, she is now chayev. Right? So the Shach touches it up a little bit. If you flip over, I don't know, I'm using the two versions ago. If you look in the Shach, so the Shach touches it up a little bit. It says, "V'nira dem ein baila makbid chayevis b'chol davar she'efshir k'moish." If her husband's not makbid, she's chayev in everything. So it's hard to know where the Shach is coming from. Well, one thing you know is that's what he holds. If her husband's not makbid, so that, at the very least you get the halacha from the Shach. But it's hard to know where in the spectrum the Shach is falling out. Because it could be that since the Mechaber used such a harsh lashon to say that she's completely putter, so the Shach just wants to temper that a little bit and say, whoa, take it easy. It's not like there's no such thing as, kibud av v'aim for a married woman. It just means that her first responsibility is to her husband. But there's still a secondary responsibility to the father, and if the husband is willing to let her do what she wants, legabe her parents, so she's allowed to, she's certainly chayiv to help out her parents. So that could be what the Shach is saying, or the Shach could just be saying, no, I'm not working off of the Mechaber. I'm not working off of the Mechaber at all. I'm just saying a statement. Really, the whole thing of the husband is just that he has the right to veto certain requests of the parents. But in case he doesn't, so then she's fully chayev and kibud av v'aim. One nekuda I didn't get to fully elaborate on last time was we spoke about the Gemara, which says that after she's nizgarsha, so she's back to her original chiyuv. So the question is, what was the havamina and what was the maskana? So if you say this vart that the father is allowed, the husband is allowed to veto things, it's very, very hard to understand why I need the Gemara to tell me that if she gets divorced, the husband's not allowed to, right? The husband's not allowed to tell her what to do anymore, right? We already know, even if you didn't, I mean, you know what, Misvar. Like, would you have thought that a woman, let's say a woman gets divorced, and now her father tells her, I need you to come over and take out the garbage. And her ex-husband calls her up and says, don't go to your father's house and take out the garbage. Is she chayav to listen? Saying, you know Misvara, she's not chayav to listen. But even if you didn't know Misvara, she wasn't chayav to listen, you could prove it. How can you prove it from Mishnayis and Gittin? How can you prove it? Almanas shelo telchi lebeis abba. Right? Says, I'm going to give you, I just thought of this now, but you don't need it, but it's just a nice, mnemonic. Right? So he's saying, it says in the Mishnah, if you're megarish your wife, almanas, that you don't go to your father's house, leolam. So she's named a megareshes. Why? Because it has to be dover akoreis beino leveina. Part of the krisus of a get is what? That they have nothing to do with each other anymore. They don't have any chiyuvim one to the other. Right? So if the husband still retains some kind of right to negate kibud av v'aim, it wouldn't be a dover akoreis beino leveina. So that's not the definition of divorce. So how would I ever say nizgarsha, right? How would I ever say nizgarsha that she's not chozer to the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim like she was before if she never really left the rishus? If it was just a veto that the husband could just negate things that the father wanted her to do, why would I think that after gerushin she would have to, you know, she would have to still check with her husband? Come on. But if you say it's a vort that she left the father's rishus, and now she's in the rishus of her husband, so it makes sense that you might have had a havamina that she doesn't go back. Like for other things, right? There are a number of other things that she's in the rishus of her parents for. Then when she has nisuin, she leaves the rishus of her parents and she never comes back. Right? So this is not one of those things. Let's say she's a bas kohen and she gets married to Yisroel, right? So she leaves the rishus. She doesn't go back to her original status, you know, for certain things. Certainly if she has children. But either way, there are times where she leaves the rishus and she never goes back. So why Taki here, does she go back? So why does she go back? She was putter in the interim? So you could argue that she was never really putter anyway. Meaning, she was never out. It could be, you could suggest, that just the nature of the way the halachas work in general, that once you're mufka legamre from a certain halacha, so then you don't go back. I'm not saying it's true, but you could suggest it, right? You could suggest that once you're mufka from a certain din, you don't go back to that din. If she's completely mufka from Kibbutz Av Va'Im for a certain amount of time, she's a free agent, she's on her own, you know, and she's in the rishus of somebody else. So she was completely removed from any chiyuvim of Kibbutz Av Va'Im whatsoever. Now and then her husband divorces her, dies, whatever the case may be. She's done. There's nothing more to talk about. She's on her own. She's a complete free agent. Right? So now, why does her father get to tell her what to do anymore? So the answer is because she never really left. She was always secondarily in the rishus of her parents. She was always secondarily chayiv in kibud aveim. It just wasn't her primary chayiv. And since there was a secondary chayiv all along, so she's not, obviously when the primary chayiv that was superseding it leaves the room, now she's back to her original status. I don't know, you don't have to say that, but you could. Right? Okay. Everything clear so far? Okay, so let's move forward. Oh, one more thing. I don't want to move forward. Okay, I want to harp on things. Anyway, so one more nekuda. There's a very interesting parish called the Rishon Lezion on Yoredeia, this section of Yoredeia. It's in the super fancy Machon Yerushalayim Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. No, let's say you know, well, which part?
The fact that once she gets divorced, she always had this obligation. What's the chiddush that now, like, she still has this obligation, never changed. So like, what's the chiddush that now if she
because we have other scenarios where if she would, once she has nisuin, it's like she's out of the family, right? Let's say she's from a family of kohanim. Once she has nisuin, her brother can't go to her funeral anymore. Saying it's still her sister. It's still the guy's sister. So he should be going. He's allowed to go to his single sister or even an arusa. If she's an arusa, he's allowed to go to her funeral. But her brother the Cohen is no longer allowed to go to her funeral. Why? She's still a sister, no? You don't go back to me. The answer is because once you're out of the family for certain things, you're out of the family. So you could have suggested, that's the Lashon of the Ritva certainly says it, and maybe the Lashon of the Ran as well, right? So so you see that she you might have had a havamina that she's out. Once you're out, you're out, and you don't go back. Okay, so the Rishon LeZion is written by the author of the Or Chaim HaKadosh on Torah. He has other things also, but he wrote a lot on halacha. So he has an interesting thing where he points out the way the limud works of ish imo va'aviv tiro. So if you didn't understand anything I said up until this point because you weren't in the sugya, I apologize, but this is pretty straightforward. So he just says that, I don't understand, because the demamit la gabe mora, the whole miyud is from mora aveim, not kibud aveim. So he says, the dvarim eli yichol isha lasos afil nesua. So that applies to a woman who is fully married. Pretty much the kasha of the marsha. Yesh lomar kevan d'achar ha-emes ha-emiyuta d'ish leka l'ukma b'shum ofen mimora l'paltra. You can't apply it to mora of v'aim. Right? You can't say, oh, once you're married, you're allowed to call your father by his first name now. Right? No, you still have to respect him. There's no applications where it's shaykh to talk about mora av v'aim.
There could be.
What?
Let's say your father comes over for a meal, and who do you give the best seat to? Do you give it to your husband or your father? That's a respect case.
It's possible that that is. It's possible. But for whatever reason, he doesn't think there are any cases. Right? Let's go with his assumption. He doesn't think there are any cases. Most achronim suggest the way you're suggesting, that there are plenty of applications. You know, fine. It says im kein behechrech didarshinan le bim eno inyan lemora tneu inyan lekavod. So he uses a tool that the Gemara often uses when there's an extra pasuk over here, right? So he says im eno inyan lezeh tneu inyan acher. So there's an extra idea in one place that certainly there's no application for it there. So you have to apply it elsewhere. Okay, whether you like that vort or you don't like that vort, why am I bringing it up? Because what do you see from here? He is not learning the way I'm learning. Right? You see, he's saying you need some fancy trick to explain why a woman is putter from kibud av v'aim since it's learned from mora. My whole idea was that the marshal's kasha is not a kasha. Why? Because it's in the categories of kavod and mora. She's out of the rishus of her parents, and she's into the rishus of her husband. So you don't need to be machalik between kavod and mora. It's all one unit, and legabe that unit, she's out. But here, he's suggesting you need a technical way to learn that she's pater from kibud av v'aim, and of course she's not pater from mora av v'aim. It's a standard, all standard rates apply. There's no difference. He's clearly learning, like the first way we were explaining it, that it's just the husband has some kind of veto power when it comes to kibud av v'aim. So anyway, I just wanted to show you that possibility. Again, sounds from the lashon of the mechaber that he holds. It's a din in Rishios that the wife is considered now outside of the husband, outside of her father's rishus legabe dizinyanim. Whereas according to the shach, it's hard to tell. And the Rishon Letzion is certainly saying the first way, like much more like the Sefer Achinuch, that she's still 100% in the purview of her parents, legabe the halachos of kibud av v'aim, and therefore he has to come up with this fancy way to take the liman and transplant it elsewhere. Okay, let's leave that area for now. Let's go to Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Let's go to Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Everybody have a Gemara. Okay, so for starters, the first thing on the bottom of Lamed Amid Beis, we have a very important brisa that you probably know from Rashi Ala Torah. Right, Tanya, Rebbe Omer Golav Yadul Efnei Misha Omer V'Hoya HaOlam Sheben Mechabedis Imo Yoser Me'aviv Mipnei Shemishtadalto Bidvarim. Right? So he said it's well understood in front of Hashem. Very interesting Lashon, right? Very interesting Lashon. Golav Yadul Efnei Misha Omer V'Hoya HaOlam. What do you think that means? Anyone have any suggestions for what that means? Yeah? It sounds very much like that, no? I once heard that from, I don't want to say it in his name in case I say it wrong, but I once heard that from a major Talmud Chacham, that's, you have to say that's pshat, meaning, but it's weird because the Chachamim temper that statement because they give a reason for it. Right, so it's weird. The statement seems to have two edges which don't match. On one hand, it says this is part of the teva of the bria. On the other hand, it says why. So you could say no. It's in the teva of the bria that's the standard relationship that happens between mothers and sons. Right. So memela, a son is going to be tempted to respect and service his mother more than his father. L'fichach hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibud av l'kibud eim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put kibud av before kibud eim, because you might have thought you're going to end up being lax in kibud av. Right? V'goli v'yadua l'vnei misha amr v'ayolam shahaben misyare me'av v'yoser me'imo. Stop there for a second. And it's goli v'yadua that a son is more respectful of his father than his mother. Why? Because his father's going to smack him more? No, very important. This second part, people seem to forget. Mipnesha Malamdo Torah. It's Dafka because he's Malamdo Torah. Right? Very important to note. It's not both statements, we have to understand it in context. The son is more prone to servicing his mother, and he's more prone to respecting his father. Right? What's the reasons for each one that Chazal give? Because he's more prone to servicing his mother, because his mother knows how to speak to him so that he'll want to do it. Right? It's very important. When someone makes you do something, you can make anyone do anything. It's very important to know this. You're all Bezra Shembi parents one day. And one of the things you need to realize is you can always make your kids do things. And sometimes you have to make your kids do things. Right? But you have to teach them to do things, much more importantly than making them do things. If you make people do things, then the second you turn your back, they don't do it anymore. Right? And oftentimes they do the opposite. The goal is to teach them to do things. That's what it means, that a son is more prone to servicing his mother, Mipnei Mishtadalto Bedvarim. She convinces him that it's the right thing to do. The father says, right? Listen, it doesn't matter who you are. I don't know what kind of parent you think you're going to be. You're going to say, because I said so many, 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 many times. And that's okay. Right? Because that's the real answer. That doesn't teach anybody anything. It teaches them that you have to listen. You know? But it doesn't teach anybody anything. So children are going to be more prone to helping their mothers, because the mother convinces them that this is a worthwhile endeavor. Children are going to be more prone to respecting their fathers. Why? Because their father teaches them Torah. They view the father as the link in the Mesorah more so than the mother. Now that's erroneous in the kid's understanding, right? Because it happens to be that each one provides a different kind of link. But nevertheless, the son often looks at the father, who's the teacher of Torah, as the one who's worthy of more respect, because what is worthy of respect? Obviously, Torah is worthy of respect, and my father's the one who teaches me Torah. He's the one who's bringing me back to Har Sinai. And the mother, yeah, I want to help her more, because I know why I'm supposed to help her. My father, I don't know why I'm supposed to help him, because he likes barking orders at me, right? He doesn't have to convince, fathers don't have to convince their kids to do it. Do it, right? Mothers, they actually take the time to convince their kids what to do and why it's a good idea. So that's the difference over here. Okay, that was just an aside, but it's important to see that if you have this Gemara, it sounds like what? That they're both equal, or one is ahead of the other in terms of Kavod and Mora? Yeah. Right, but it sounds very much so that they're equal, right? They're 100% equal in whom you have to give kavod to, right? There's no difference, right? Meaning, don't be tempted to give more kavod to your mother. Therefore, it says that in the Torah, dafka to be mechazik you in your kavod for your father. Don't be tempted to give more mora to your father, so the Torah is mechazik you to give more mora to your mother, right? That's what it sounds like the Torah is saying. And similarly, you see this in the Rambam, and it's in Perek Vav and Hilchos Mamrim. In case you don't know where to find Kibud Av Ve'Em, it's in the last of the sefer of the Mishnah Torah, Sefer Shoftim, Hilchos Mamrim. Okay, so it's in Perek Vav of Hilchos Mamrim. So he says that Kibud Av Ve'Em of the mitzvahs asei gedola v'chein mora av Ve'Em. Right, shkala makasa bichvodu of maro. The Torah made them equal. Okay, so the Rambam says straight out, they're both equal. And, you know what? I did that totally wrong. I apologize. Sorry. Shkola makosu b'chvodov mora'o. Right? They made it equal to that was a very great disservice I just did to the Rambam. So the Torah made them equal to Kvod Shemaim. The Torah made them equal to Kvod Shemaim. Sorry. So what did I mean? What did I mean when I was specifically looking for the Rambam here? Because in Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes Hikdim. Hiktim av la'ein b'chvod, v'hiktim av la'ein la'av b'morah, l'lamit sh'shneem shavin, b'ein l'kavod, b'ein l'mor. That's what I was looking for. Right? So he says that it's teaching you that they're both equal when it comes to kavod and morah. There's no difference between the two. So that's the first step that we have to take here. Now, if you go a little further down in the Gemara in Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, so we have a statement of Sho'al ben Almana Achas es Rabbi Eliezer. As Rabbi Eliezer. So the question was asked to Rabbi Eliezer. Abba omer hashkeni mayim, v'ima omer es hashkeni mayim. Eze mehen kodem. Who comes first? If both of your parents tell you to do the same thing, but one for the, each, you know, one mother says help me, the father says help me. So what do you do first? So omer le hanach kvod Imcha v'asei kvod avicha, she'ata v'imecha chayav v'mechvod avicha. Right? So he says that you have to put aside the kavod of your mother in honor of your father, because both you and she are chayav in the kavod of your father. Bar lefnei Rabbi Yoshua, just give me, let me finish the Gemara, and we'll go. Bar lefnei Rabbi Yoshua, amar lo, kach amar lo Rebbe, Nizgarsha mahu. So what's the din if they get divorced? Amalei, mi bein risei necha nikar sheben almanata. Fine. Hatel en mayim b'seifel v'kakei alehen k'tarnagolim. Right? Very interesting why he chose such a lashon. But basically he says, you know, the way the post can understand it, do whichever one you want first. Or put it down in front of them and run. So, you know, ring the dinner bell and then just run. So, yeah. I think he was first. Yeah.
So it would be the same situation if your father and your grandfather also ask you for water, because your father would be high.
Oh, so that's a good question. Right? That's a good question. Yeah. So that, let's hold off on that. In other words, it's that's a very good nafkamina. Think about it for a second. That's going to be a big deal depending on how we understand this, right? Meaning, if you're not as chayav to be mechabed your grandfather as you are to be mechabed your father, but your father is chayav to be mechabed your grandfather. Right? So that's, you see where we're getting into trouble here? Because you have a greater chiyuv on your father. He has a chiyuv on his father, and you have a little bit of a chiyuv on your grandfather. So we'll have to worry about that a little later. But that's going to be dependent on how we understand this whole thing. Yeah.
In regards to the carnival thing, I don't really understand, because let's say your father and your mother asks you to do something, right? So, of course, you should listen to your father, because if you listen to your mother, that's why the Torah put kibud av la'im, because if you listen to your mother, it's like, oh, he respects his mother first. It's more of a slap in the face to the father.
Okay, but that's not what the Gemara says. You're asking why the Gemara needed to say that. Yeah, so that's a very good kasha. The Marsha asked that kasha, basically. If you look in the Chedushi Agados of the Marsha, so I put it on the Maram Makom, so you should check it out. The Marsha asked that kasha. He says, wait, I don't understand why we need this in the first place. Why do we need this in the first place? We could have just learned it out from, you know, we could have just learned it out from this din. Right? The two dinim are not necessary. You don't have to have a din of kaved es avich of es imecha to be told, oh, you might think you're going to respect your mother more. So no, you have to respect your father equally. Why don't you just have this din of that, since your mother is chayav to respect your father, so too, you know, etc. Why don't you just have that? So the Marsha gives a teret, says ein achinami. It's true. You just needed it for, we needed it. The real kasha of the Gemara was not that. The real kasha of the Gemara is, why did they switch when it came to covenant morah? So saying, okay, so the reason they switched is the psychology part, right? But in a chinami, it would have been true. So the Marsha seems to be suggesting, don't learn from this Gemara that they're equal, because they're not. The father, kavod is actually more shaykh to the father. So why does the Gemara sound like it is? That's just because they're asking why did they reverse the Lashonos when it comes to Kavod and Mor. That's just a local teretz.
Then according to that, couldn't we answer the father-grandfather question?
How so?
You're five for your father, you're not five for your grandfather.
Oh, very good, right? Very good. You hear what he said? You hear what he said? Lee, right? So Lee said that now you know the answer. If the whole real reason you're servicing your father over your mother is because you're more chayiv and kavod to your father, so you're more chayiv and kavod to your father and grandfather also. So you should do your father first. So that's a good answer, right? So we're gonna have to see if that's the way everybody holds. But seemingly, according to this marsha, that's the way you would answer this question. What time is it? Sorry, we got a couple minutes. So okay, yeah.
Father and a rav in the room, so then you'd be chayiv to serve the rav over your father, because your father would be chayiv to give kavod to the rav.
But you're not chayiv to kavod the rav.
I mean, it depends what the reasoning behind everything is. Let's hold off on all the nafkaminas till later. Let's just get the basic yisod. Yeah. I think the Rambam he wants you to be clear on what the point of that Gemara is. It's not stam avort in psychology. It's telling you that in halacha, they're equal. It's not a greater chiyuv kavod to one or the other. So the Rambam is still going to get stuck with our kasha. Right? The Rambam is going to get stuck with our kasha on one end. The Gemara just said they're both equal. Now it says, the Gemara says that, no, really the kavod to your father is greater. Right, so that's where we're holding right now. So, just to start, we have to figure out what's the mitzvah of the mother giving kavod to the father. What is that all about? Right, we've been talking about the kavod to their husband superseding the kavod to the parents, and now we're talking about the kavod to the husband causing an afkamina in the son's kibud avim. So, what actually is this whole? What actually is this whole mitzvah of the woman giving kavod to her husband? So it's in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Tezvov. So I'll read you the lashon of the Rambam here. L'chein tzivu chachamim sheyia adam mechabed es ishto yeser migufo v'oava kigufo. Right. So the chachamim command. So right away. See, the Chachamim commanded, this is a Din D'Rabbanan, right? The Chachamim commanded a man to honor his wife more than he honors himself, and to love her like he loves himself. V'im yesh lo mamon marbe betovaso kifi hamamon. And if he has money, according to what he can afford, he should do buy her all kinds of good things. V'lo yatil alea ema yisera, and don't be too tough. V'yia diburo ima benachas, and speak pleasantly to her. V'lo yia atse v'lo rogis. He shouldn't be too sad, and he shouldn't have a temper. He shouldn't be manic, you know, and sad, you know, in depression, or you know, shouldn't lose his temper quickly. V'chein tzivu chachamim al isha, and the Rabbanan commanded the woman shetia mechabedes es bala biyoser midai, to honor her husband more than is necessary. V'yelo alea mora, and she should have mora, she should have fear or respect, what we've been saying. V'tase kol ma'asa al piv, and she should do everything based on what he wants or what he says. V'yeh be'enea kemosar o melech, and he should be in her eyes like a prince or a king. Right? Ma'alechas betavas libo o marcheches kol sheyisna. Right? That she should go in the ways that he desires, and she should try to push away all the things he doesn't like. V'zeu derech menos Yisrael uvnei Yisrael hakadoshim atahorim bezivugan. And this is the way of the holy Jewish people in their marriages. Right? Uvidrachim elu yeh yeshuva noa umeshubach. And if you follow this path, you'll live a good life. Anyway, so the Rambam seems to be saying, on one end, the wife is chayiv, the husband is chayiv to give kavod to his wife. But then it says that the woman is chayiv to give more kavod to her husband and mora. So it's kavod and mor. So whether or not the wife is chayiv and morah is subject to some debate, but the Rambam says yes. And it's so it seems like you could understand the Rambam is saying that a wife is chayiv to give more kavod to her husband than the husband is chayiv to give to her. And therefore, when the Gemara says you have to give more kavod to your father, it's because your wife, your mother has to give more kavod to your father than he has to give to her, and that's the way it works. It's a simple, you know, mathematical thing of greater than and less than, right? The wife has to give more kavod to her husband, and therefore you have to give more kavod to your father. That's one way you could learn the Rambam. However, there's a second way you could learn the Rambam, which I think is more clear based on what we'll try to bring more rias to it next time. The second way you can learn the Rambam is that it's not about more or less. What is it really about? It's about what works. It's about what works. It's not about that, well, the husband, he's chayiv to give kavod level 8 to his wife, and the wife is chayiv to give kavod level 10 to her husband. And therefore, he says it's greater than. 10 is greater than 8. No, not at all. It's a question of Chazal trying to understand the psychology of people and saying, listen, you want to have a successful relationship? Men and women don't want the same things out of a relationship. They're not looking for the exact same thing. I'll give you a quick example. Right? Let's say you take a girl out on a date, and you take her to the movies. Right? So you go to the movie. So the husband or the husband says to his wife or whatever, the boyfriend, whoever you happen to be. So the guy says to the guy wants to pay the girl a compliment for and make her feel good about herself. So what should he say to her? What should he say to her? Right? And now the question is, what should the wife say, what should the woman say back to the man? Right? The answer is, by the way, it's two very, very different things. Very, very different things. And if the wife says the womanly thing to the husband, it's going to have zero effect. And if the husband says the manly thing to the wife, it's going to have zero effect. It doesn't mean anything to them. I'll tell you a little secret, right? It's good to know. That the wife, if she wants to pay, I'll start with the husband. If he wants to pay a compliment to his wife, he'll say, thank you for coming with me. I had such a nice time with you. Right? Meaning what? Your being here made things good. What's the pshat? It means that she's chashiv to him. He's thinking of her. And whatever he's doing is less enjoyable because she's not around. And it's more enjoyable when she is. That's what the vast majority of women want to hear. If you say that to a guy, oh, thanks for coming with me. Well, where else was I going to go? Like, I'm here. It's like, I'm going to send you to the movies by yourself? So, saying like, it doesn't make any sense. So, rather, what do you want to say? What should the woman say to the guy? That was a great movie. You picked a great movie, right? That's all he cares about. He cares much more, I hope, my wife is enjoying the movie, right? Because otherwise, that means I'm stupid because I didn't pick a good movie, right? I'm saying it's a different way of thinking. He wants to be the guy. He wants to be the man who took care of business and did a good job, right? If I know I did a good job, that's all I care about. You know, and if the object that I was trying to do a good job for thinks that I did a good job, that's great. All is well. Well, you happy that I came with you? Of course I came with you. What does that even mean? Right? That's what the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam is talking about and again, everything's al pi rov. If your wife happens to not be this way, then, you know, don't pretend that she is, and vice versa. But it's kemat amir chein umatsu that aren't this way. You know, it's very important to keep that in mind. My oldest brother got married. You know, we're only four boys. We grew up with only a mother. So we're four boys, and we're not girly men. Like we're very much guys. And when my older brother got married, he said to me, he said, guys, I just want to let you know all the things we make fun of mommy for. It's all women. So he goes, because if it was going to not be somebody, it was going to be, his wife's name is Bracha. He goes, if it was not going to be somebody, it was going to be Bracha, and it's Bracha. So it's all women. You know? So he's like, just know, you want to make fun of mommy about it, fine, but it's everybody. So anyway, what is the Rambam trying to say here? You want your wife to be happy, give her kavod, yes, but that's not, you should be more mechabder, you want to give her the right kind of kavod, be mechabdo yoser migufo, right? Put her first. Say, I was going to take care of something for myself, but then I remembered I need to do something for you, so I did it first. You were thinking of her. That's the idea. She wants to know you were thinking of her when you weren't around. Most guys, out of sight, out of mind. You could be the most important person in the world, right? It doesn't matter. Even at the end of the day, you know, it's even Shaykh. Wise is not even here. I was only going to make this comment for his benefit, but whatever. It's even Shaykh that the people of Cleveland had a Hesach Hadas from LeBron James over a course of 4 years, right? It's Shaykh. Guys, when things are out of sight, they're out of mind. They don't think about them constantly, right? But the Rambam is telling you, do things to show your wife how valued she is and how valued her presence is, right? When you have money, get her things. It doesn't mean you always have to shower her with expensive gifts. It means that if you're in a store and you see something that reminds you that your wife might like it, pick it up. You bring it home, your wife says, oh, thank you so much for thinking of me. And she thinks she's very, I mean she is, but she thinks she's very special. Why? Because you were thinking about her when you stopped, walked into a store. You're walking down the street and you thought, oh, that's something my wife would like. Right? It's a goal of what type of cover to give to your wife. Most women don't need to be the queen of the castle in the sense that whatever they say goes. Right? Most men, that's the Iker Kavod to give them. Right? You give them a good, you know, the super stereotypical father. He comes home from a hard day's work. He's got his special chair that he sits in. You know? He goes to sit down in that chair. That chair for him is a throne. It doesn't matter that it's a cheapo, you know, 25-year-old chair. It's his throne. This is his castle. It doesn't matter if it's a dilapidated dump. This is my house. You know, I like this house. And the wife says, I'm maskim to you that this is your house. And I'm going to give you kavod and I'm going to give you mora. Not because there's a greater mitzvah, but because that's what he will benefit from more. He'll enjoy that more. If the wife says to the husband, look, I bought you this little tchotchke that I saw in the store when I went out to get some coffee. He's like, what do I need a tchotchke for? Put it next to all the other useless things you bought me. No, say like, what does that mean? No, but I was thinking of you. Okay, thanks, I guess. You know, it doesn't mean anything. So he's saying like, you know, you come home and he say like, I made you a cup of coffee just the way you like it. Whoa, this is a house. This is a place you can come home to. You know. So like that's a different. It's a different attitude. It's a different attitude. Anyway. Fianis Daiti, this is a much better explanation of what the Rambam is saying. It's not a din in more versus less. It's a din in what the effective manner of kavod is. So if you say that, so now you're going to have to try to figure out how this all works. Again, they have two statements in this short little span of the Gemara. Number one, they're all equal in Kibud Avim. They're both equal. Number two, you have to service your father first before your mother. So the question now is, if you say, oh, it's just a question of greater than or less than, okay, we're good to go. It's greater than, you can learn like the Marsha, you can go home. But if you say that it's not greater than or less than, it's just different types, so you're going to have to figure out how the two coexist. How is the son giving equal cover to both the father and the mother, but on the other hand, he's supposed to service the father more, despite the fact that their chiyuvim to one another are equal. Yeah.
So with the sons, son's relationship be the same way as the husband and wife both have to give kibbutz in their own way?
It doesn't seem so. It seems that the son just, you do what your parents say. You know, that's the son's job. The son has to not, doesn't have to, trust me, as a son, You don't have to do much to foster a relationship to make your parents happy with you or sad with you. If you listen, they're happy. You know, obviously, you do it b'chachma, but l'mais, in the end of the day, we're not so strict on exactly what type of kavod to give to the mother, what type of kavod to give to the father. That's much more shayach on a level where they're equals. You know, you have to do the right thing for each one. Anyway, we'll elaborate on it more as we go. Have a great day, guys.
Those who have RCs today, maybe outside. Right?